Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Congratulations, Peter Chase, for your newborn granddaughter. I don't know how that was possible because Peter is not much older than me, and my son is only 14. So Pete and Louis must have gotten married when they were like 14 or something like that, probably. I don't know. Hey, have you ever had one of these annoying warning lights come on your car? You know, modern cars these days, they have all kinds of computerized warning lights. You have the check oil light. You have the check tire pressure light nowadays, and the most annoying of all, because it's so expensive to fix, is the check engine light, right? Now, what does a check engine light tell you? Well, a check engine light tells you that there is a problem. But the problem is not with the light. The problem is elsewhere, in your car, most probably in your engine, all right? And if you're smart, a check engine light tells you to bring your car back to the manufacturer through the dealership because the manufacturer knows how to fix your car because they made your car, especially nowadays with all the computerized system in your car and so on. Now, as I think about anxiety, anxiety is kind of like that. Anxiety is the warning signal alerting you that something is not right and that you should bring it to the manufacturer. You should talk to your manufacturer, and your manufacturer is nothing, is God Himself. Yeah? You should bring it in prayer. So what that means is if you have a doctor's appointment and you are anxious, pray about it. If you have a meeting coming up and you're anxious about it, pray about it. If you're anxious about your husband, about your wife, about your health, about your finance, pray about it. Because anxiety itself is not a sin, just like the warning light itself is not a problem. The problem is elsewhere. Same thing with anxiety. Anxiety is like a warning light telling you there is a problem somewhere in your life. And the best thing for you to do, if you're smart, is to talk to your manufacturer about it. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the power of prayer when it comes to anxiety, all right? Because God's desire for every single one of us is to live a life of peace. God doesn't want your life to be characterized by perpetual anxiety, that you're anxious all the time. God wants you to have peace, not chaos. God wants you to have order in your life, and God wants you to trust Him, right? So if you've been battling anxiety for years, let me tell you, I want you to trust God. I want you to be expectant, because God doesn't like it for you to live in perpetual anxiety, okay? Now, God's help may come in the form of medication. It may come in the form of an appointment with a medical professional and so on. But regardless, it is not God's desire for you to live in anxiety. God wants you to live a life of peace. And let me tell you, it is possible, okay? It is possible. God, through His servant Paul, has given us the prescription how we can fight anxiety in our lives. And we look at these verses for the last couple of weeks, and it's a very powerful passage because it was written by a guy who was at the time in prison. He was chained to a prison guard. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was about to be executed. And yet he wrote this amazing letter to a church in Philippi, a letter known as the letter of joy. Can you imagine? From someone who has all the reason in the world to be anxious, and yet he wrote this amazing piece of literature that is a blessing to all of us today if we pay attention to it. So let me read it for us again from Philippians chapter 4, starting from verse 4. Here's what Paul wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God. This is God's promise to every single one of you. Yes, you. You've been battling anxiety for years. You've just recently battled anxiety. This is the promise of God to every single one of us. Every single one of us. The peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Isn't that an amazing promise of God for every single one of us who wants it? All right? And that promise is for you and for me. And then Paul continues in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't focus on your problem. Instead, focus on the good things in life. Focus on the goodness of God. Focus on all that is right and lovely and honorable. If you focus on these things, and then your problem, your anxiety will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And Paul, you can summarize what he said in this passage this way. And this is amazing, very easy for us to remember. Max Lucado put this together. He said, first, you celebrate God's goodness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then you ask God for help. Let your request be made known to God. And then leave your concerns with God, knowing that God cares about you. He knows what's best for you. Be thankful to God that He cares so much. And then you don't have to take the problem back when once you present it to God, once you ask God for His help. And then finally, meditate on good things in life. And if you take the first letter of each step, it forms the word calm. And that's how it makes it easy for us to remember, and that's what God wants for every single one of you. God wants you to live a life of calm. Last week, we looked at celebrate God's goodness. If you miss it, go to our YouTube channel. And today, I want to talk about the middle two. I want to talk about how we can ask God for help, and I want us to be able to live our concerns with God once we ask Him to help us. All right? So let's look at the verses from Paul again, especially from verse 5 onwards. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, what is interesting is that middle sentence, the Lord is near. I want to tell you two things about your New Testament Bible that you may or may not know about. The first thing is this, okay? Do you know that the chapter and verse division in your New Testament and in your Old Testament, they are actually added much later on? They were not originally written by Paul or Matthew or Mark or Luke or whoever wrote the gospel and the letters that you read in your New Testament. They are added later on. In fact, if you want to know, I did my research, those chapter and verse division, they were added in the year 1551 by a guy named Bob. Seriously. His name is Robert Stephanus, and in 1551, Bob added the chapter and verse division. And for the most case, it helps us. It helps us to locate verses very quickly. It helps us to find passages very quickly. But sometimes, they're not always broken in the right places. That's the first thing you got to know about your New Testament Bible. The chapter and verse division, they're not inspired by God. Okay? They're just there to help us. The second thing that you need to know is the New Testament is written in the Koine Greek. And in the Koine Greek, you don't have punctuations. You don't have commas, you don't have full stops, you got nothing. It's just one continuous sentence, okay? So those punctuations were also added later on. And in this case, the Lord is near is bunched together with verse 5. So you read it like this, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. That's one way to read it. But I think, okay, this is my opinion, the better way to read it is actually to combine that sentence, the Lord is near, with the next verse. So you should read it this way. The Lord is near, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Not only it is more logical when you do it this way, but it is also more powerful. Because I believe this is what Paul meant to say. Paul meant to say it this way, because the Lord is near, you don't need to be anxious about anything. I remember when I grew up,
I was always anxious when my dad came home late from work because I was always worried. What if he had a car accident? What if he died? You know, what if I don't see him again? I was anxious as a little kid. And it's the same thing. You know, if we know that God is near, we have no reason to be anxious. God, Jesus, the Lord is Emmanuel, God with us. His hand is not too short to help us. That's why, because God is near, we don't need to be anxious. Because God is near in every situation. You know, the Greek word for every means every. Okay? It means in every situation, big or small, you can always present your requests to God. Now, that's one way to translate it, but, you know, people, when they read it this way, they have this idea that maybe you have to do it like a formal presentation, like you have to make a PowerPoint presentation before God can hear you. But in the original language, it actually says, tell God what you need. That's what it says in the original language. Tell God your requests. You don't have to make a PowerPoint presentation. You don't have to pray with flowery language. In fact, you know, I just tell people, hey, whenever you're anxious, whenever you need God, whenever you are in trouble, just tell God what you need. And I realized people honestly actually don't know how to pray. That's what I found out, that, you know, pray, I just assume everybody knows how to pray, but, you know, for a lot of people, they don't know how to pray. How do you start? How do you address God? Do you pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or you pray in the name of Jesus? Or what do you do, you know? And what kind of language should you use? Does God understand my native language? Or do I have to pray in English? Do I have to pray in King James language? Oh, thou great Jehovah, and stuff like that. What do you do? Okay? And I want to tell you this. I want to put your mind at ease. God listens to a prayer that is said sincerely. God doesn't need flowery language. In fact, I want to say this. The simpler the prayer, when it comes from your heart, the better it is. The more honest the prayer, the better it is. I want us to have a look at the very first prayer said to Jesus, okay? Now, some people don't think this is a prayer, but technically, this is a prayer. This is the prayer that caused Jesus to perform his first miracle ever, all right? And this prayer was spoken by Jesus' own mother, Mary, at a wedding, okay? And from this story, we will know, how do we pray, you know? What words should we use when we pray? And this is powerful. I want you to pay attention. In John chapter 2, this is how the story goes. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. So if you take an average 25 gallons times 6, that's about 150 gallons of jar. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So there was a wedding, a simple wedding. This was not a royal wedding. It was not a wedding between Prince Harry and Meghan. This was just an ordinary wedding. And what's amazing about this wedding is that Jesus was invited to this wedding. And what's even more amazing is that Jesus accepted the invitation. Jesus actually showed up at this wedding. And I want to tell you here this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are Christian or not. If you invite Jesus into your life, if you invite Jesus to get involved with your life, Jesus will show up, all right? Jesus always shows up. And it's amazing because Jesus was at the beginning of his ministry. At this point, Jesus has not yet performed any miracles. People did not know who he was. People did not know he was the Son of God, all right? And yet, Jesus got invited. You know what that means? That means people like Jesus. That's why I always say, people who were nothing like Jesus, like Jesus. If you don't like Jesus, maybe you heard wrongly about Jesus, let me tell you, once you know who Jesus is, you would have liked him. Because people, during Jesus' day, they liked Jesus and Jesus liked them back, all right? Jesus actually showed up at their wedding. But then, soon we found out there's a problem at this wedding. They actually ran out of wine. I don't know how, I don't know why they ran out of wine. Maybe because Jesus and his disciples were there and they were thirsty, okay? Maybe John drank too much. Maybe Matthew, the tax collector, he's so used to party, he drank too much. We don't know. But they ran out of wine. And then what Jesus' mother did, as soon as she found out they ran out of wine, immediately she came to Jesus and she said this very first prayer ever given to Jesus. And it is this: they have no more wine. Only five words. They have no more wine. Now, how would you rank that prayer? From a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very simple and 10 being very eloquent, how would you rank that prayer? Is this the kind of prayer that you would frame and hang on your wall? You know, on one side of the wall you have, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Amazing. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Great. "They have no more wine." Imagine hanging that on the wall at your house and your guests come like, "What is that?" "They have no more wine." You have to explain what that means. All right? Now, you wouldn't rank that prayer as very eloquent. It's a very simple prayer. And here's the truth about prayer that you need to know. The power of prayer depends on the one who hears it, not in the one who says it, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you use broken English. It doesn't matter if you can't even utter the right words to say. Sometimes, you know, if my prayer, let me be honest right now, if my prayer depends on my ability to string beautiful words together, I'm doomed because I don't know how to pray with beautiful language. You know, do you feel intimidated sometimes when you are near those prayer ninjas? You know, they can quote verses here and there, and like, "Whoa, God must have heard their prayers, because I'm like, I will answer their prayer. It is so good." But you feel like, "I don't think God hears me. I don't think God understands me, because I can't even string words together properly." But let me tell you, the power of your prayer does not reside in you or how you say things, but it resides in the one who hears it. All right? And God is powerful. He knows. Even before you say it, He knows. But He wants you to say it. He wants you to come to Him in prayer. And then what happened was, Jesus did not answer the prayer immediately. In fact, Jesus came to the party to party. He didn't come to perform a miracle. "My time has not yet come," Jesus said. Right? What did Mary do? And this is the second point that I want to make. Once you ask God for help, you have to leave it to God. You have to trust God for it, right? Don't take it back. When Mary heard Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come," Mary did not go to the nearby shop and, you know, calling all the disciples, "Say, come on, let's go buy more wine, because apparently Jesus is not going to do anything." No. Instead, this is what Mary did. He said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Once you tell Jesus your problem, once you tell Jesus what you need, leave your concerns to Him. Don't take it back. Do whatever He tells you. And here's another thing that you need to know about prayers. prayer is not so much you telling God what to do. That's part of it. But prayer often is you allowing God to tell you what to do. All right? If God tells you to calm, to be calm, if God tells you not to be anxious, if God tells you to do what you can do and then leave things that you cannot do to Him because He can do what you cannot do, you know, prayer is a two-way communication. You speak to God what you need and God will tell you what you need to do, all right? In this case, Jesus told the servants, hey, why don't you pour water into these jars? You know, the servants can do that. They can pour water into the jars, but they can't turn the water into wine. Only Jesus can do that. And Jesus did exactly that. So when you pray to God, listen to what God is saying to you, okay? Don't just tell God what you need. By all means, do that. But you also listen to what God is trying to say to you in response. And then trust Him with everything that you have given to Him. Okay, so how should we pray then? Okay, if our language is not important, if the way we string our words is not that important, then how should we order our prayer? Well, Paul kind of gave us the clue. He said, let's go back to our verse again. He said, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's all you need to do, right? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You know, when I first read it, I thought like, well, isn't petition part of prayer? Isn't thanksgiving part of prayer? Well, prayer is like, if you like, it's a general term for communicating with God. So I would put it this way. You know, by prayer, you say things like, Father, you're good. You're good to me. The economy may not be good. My health may not be good. My situation may not be good. The traffic may not be good, but you're always good. You're good to me. You're kind to me, and you care about me. That's how you start. You just acknowledge that you are the son, the daughter of the Most High God. You know, you have access to God. God hears you. You know, God will stop everything that He does. I'm just imagining this, okay? If God were your human father, God will stop everything that He's doing to listen to you. Why? Because you are His. So start with, Father, you're good to me. You're so good. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of my situation, you're always good. And then you offer your petition. I need help. I need help. Be specific with what you need. The more specific, the better. You know, how did Mary pray to Jesus or ask Jesus for His help? She was very specific. They have no more wine. She didn't just say, help us, Jesus. They have no more wine. So the more specific your prayer, it shows God that you are serious about your request. Okay, if you come to me and say, Daniel, can I come to your house sometime? What would I say? Well, I suppose you can, but I don't know how serious you are about wanting to come to my house. But if you had asked me, hey, Daniel, are you free next Friday from 6 to 7 o'clock? I would like to come to your house just for an hour if you are free. Then it tells me that you are serious about wanting to come to my house to talk to me at that hour. And I say, if I'm free, I say, yeah, sure, come by. Do you know what I mean? When you're specific with your prayer, it shows God, God, I need help in this area. Don't just say, help me, God. God, I'm anxious about the upcoming meeting at 2 o'clock. Please calm my anxious heart. Grant me favor in the eyes of my manager. Something like that, you know, something specific. And then when God answers your prayer, you know that God answers your prayer as well because you've said it specifically, all right? So present your request to God by petition, I need help. And then finally, thank God. Thank Him. Once you present it to God, believe that God will answer your prayer, all right? God will always answer your prayer. If it's a no or wait or I have something better in mind, God will always answer your prayer. That's why you should thank Him for it. This is very, very powerful. It's very simple. I want to give you an imagery to help you so that you will remember this. Imagine this as a sandwich, if you like, all right? The top bread represents the first part of your prayer. Father God, thank you. You are good. And then the middle, it can be a thick sandwich. I need help. My family needs help. My son needs help. My church needs help. You know, present your request to God. And then finally, say thank you to God. All right? Can we do that? This will not be a good sermon unless we practice what we just hear. So I want you to stand on your feet right now. I want you to hold out your hand like this. Okay? Hold out your hand like this. This is not an exercise, and I want everybody to play along. Okay? This is not a pretend. This is a real thing. I want you to imagine your problem that you want to present to God right there on the palm of your hands, okay? Imagine this is your problem that you want to bring to God. You got it? And I want you to reduce that problem in a sentence, into one simple sentence. For Mary, they have no more wine. For you, it may be, I cannot meet this deadline, or my health is failing me, or my marriage has gone sour. Whatever that may be, okay? Make it a real thing. Whatever it is that's troubling you, reduce it to one sentence. Imagine you're holding it right now. I give you some time. God, you're good. You're always good. Regardless of how I feel about you, regardless of how I feel about myself or my situation, you're always good. I need help. Tell God what you need help in. Yeah? And I want you to lift it up right now, everybody. Lift it up. Give it to God. And bring your hands down. Okay? Now, listen to me and listen to me well. I believe something supernatural just happened when we did that. I really do. I believe God hears your prayer. I believe God will answer it. I believe there's power in presenting a request to God because it doesn't depend on how we say our prayer. It depends on God who hears it. Okay? And then once you present it to God, don't take it back. You do what you can. Open your ears to listen to what God is saying to you in the next few days. Okay? And then leave it to God. Here's an assignment for you this week. Every single time you have a problem, bring it to God immediately. That's what Mary did. As soon as she found out they have no more wine, she came to Jesus. Bring it to God in prayer immediately. Okay? People think prayer is, you know, spending 40 days of retreat or spending 2 hours in your closet. No. Prayer is more like as you go to your doctor's office, you say your prayer. As you about to sit for an exam, you pray your prayer. All right? As soon as you have a problem, bring it to God immediately. Some of you might be saying, in that case, Daniel, I will be praying the whole day. Well, maybe so. But then what did Paul say? In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's what prayer is. It's not just you in your private closet. That's part of it. But every day, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this is what's going to happen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You will not be anxious anymore. Okay? I want us to sing this wonderful song called Waymaker. It's amazing. I love this song. And I want us to sing this. I want this to come from the bottom of our heart. I want you to make this your declaration and your prayer before God. Can we do that? And I'll come and close us in prayer.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.